Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It's going to be a little bit of a different one this evening. Joshua 1. And we're going to start in verse 1. Joshua 1:1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." Let's pray before we get too far. Dear Father, we do want to thank you again for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the blessings we've already had. Father, have your hand on us this evening. Lord, help us not to be distracted. Give me wisdom as well. Father, I pray that we'd be blessed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to look tonight at, well, I've called it the next step, but we'll see how we go. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, Joshua is given a commandment. He's given a very large, all-encompassing commandment for the children of Israel. This is what needs to happen. Go over this Jordan unto the land which I give thee. It's pretty straightforward, but it's quite a large commandment when you look a little bit later on at what he needs to be doing. A lot of you know that I used to be a locksmith. I'm still a locksmith, but I don't do it so much anymore. I'm working in a hardware store, and one of the only things I get to do even remotely like locksmithing is to build wheelbarrows. It's very different, but it's something that I can sit in the corner by myself and everybody ignores me, and I can just make wheelbarrows and try and break my time and the guys time me and see how fast I can go. The problem is I got so fast now that nobody else does them. And so the other day they said, "Look, we've got to get some of these juniors to make these wheelbarrows." Fine. It takes like an hour to make one, but all right. So we went over there, and this junior, whose name I won't mention just in case, you know, we ever meet him one day, he was there for about 20 minutes. And finally he called me on the radio and said, "I need a hand." So I went over there and he said, "I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing." And I said, "Look, there's a million wheelbarrows to look at. What's the problem?" He goes, "Well, I look at that wheelbarrow and I don't know how to make that wheelbarrow." I said, "All right. So do you know what to do first?" He goes, "Yeah, I got to put those four bolts in." I said, "Well, let's do that thing." So we did that thing. I said, "Well, what do you need now?" And he goes, "Well, now I'm going to have to put the arms in." And step by step, we went through the whole process. And it turns out he did know how to make a wheelbarrow, but he got the yips. You guys know what the yips is? Is that not a term we use around the yips? Okay, it's a sporting term. That might knock most of you out straight away. But it's a sporting term when somebody can't do the basic thing good anymore. They're in their own head. In baseball, they can't swing. They can't see that ball properly. They lose their eye. They can't do the next step. They look at the big picture going, you know, "I've got to score a touchdown." And they freak out. They don't go, "I've got to run it to the next down. I've just got to do that next step." They look too big and it freaks them out. Okay? The yips. That's your homework for the week. Everyone needs to use that in one sentence. To me. All right? I will accept text messages, no emails, and no phone messages. All right. So when we look at the life of Joshua here, all of a sudden, the person with the plan is gone. Moses, the guy who was in charge for so long, is dead. And Joshua is now getting messages from the Lord. And he says, straight to Joshua in verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel." God gives Joshua's commission. This is Joshua's mission. The rest of his life, really, this is the main thing. This is what he's there for. This is what all of his practice has been about, serving under Moses. Now the time has come for Joshua to stand up and to take this commission, this mission that the Lord has given him, take the children of Israel into the land and claim it. That's not just Joshua's goal. That's the whole nation's goal. It's the goal for everybody in this story. You're all crossing the Jordan. You're all going over there. You're going to take that land. But individually, the next step was different for different groups of people. When we look in chapter 1, we'll go down to verse 12. "And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, and all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you. We'll leave it there. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh already had their promised land. They'd already been given the part that they wanted. So they were a little bit ahead of the rest of the tribes of Israel. They didn't actually have to fight for their land. They already had it. And so the next step for this 2.5 tribes, for the men, was to leave their families, to march at the front, and to help their brethren. That was their next step. They already had the land. They didn't need to worry about that. But the women of their tribes, verse 14, your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. Their next step was to stay behind and wait. So while the whole nation had a mission, they each had individual steps to get there. We look at the next chapter. We're going to hit a few highlights of the next couple of chapters, then we're going to have a look. Chapter 2 is the two spies that are sent to Jericho. So let's start in verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So these guys didn't have to leave their families behind. They didn't have to stay and wait. What they had to do was to go, spy out Jericho secretly, and come back. So their next step was different again. God and Joshua are giving different steps to different people. We're not going to talk about these guys too much. We know the story, and it's a great story. We're going to go to chapter 3 and look at the priests. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 6 says, then Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. So now the priests have a different job. They take up the Ark. And in verse 8 it says, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. So their job was to take up the Ark, to go to the Jordan River, and to stand in it. So there's four different groups here, not to mention the rest of the nation who was marching with them, who were given different steps in the same commission. Okay? Now, as we look through, we see in this story that the soldiers, the spies, and the priests all did their individual job. The priests stood where they needed to stand. The spies went and looked at what they needed to look at. The soldiers marched where they were supposed to march. They marched in front. They each did their individual job, which leads to chapter 6. Chapter 6, the fall of Jericho. The priests were there. The soldiers were there. Those two spies were there, finally meeting, finally converging in this plan that they didn't really understand. It wasn't up to them. It wasn't up to them to organize the strategy for this battle. When you look through chapter 6, God gives them the instructions, where to march, when to be quiet, when to make lots of noise. Because these four groups of people each did their step properly and paid attention to what God was telling them, Jericho falls. Jericho falls in a very spectacular way, not in a conventional way in any military we ever would have thought of before. When Joshua, way back in chapter 1, heard the Lord's commission, it would have been very easy to be overwhelmed with that large, long-term goal. He's thinking not, I've got to cross the Jordan. He's thinking, I've got to get all of these people into a land filled with giants and they're going to be hungry. I've got to feed them. There's going to be some on this side of the river. There's going to be some on that side of the river. And as he continually thinks about it, he's going to get the yips. He's going to start thinking too big. He's going to lose focus. He's not going to be able to do the little things properly. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, gives people little steps. What's the next step? Send some spies out. Just send two people. Just go look at the land and come back and tell us. It's not hard. It's not a hard thing for him to do. When we look at these groups of people, they were all at different stages. There were some people that had their land. There were some people that didn't have their land yet. There was the Levites who were a different kettle of fish altogether. They were different as different stages. They had different needs. And God gave them different jobs. We talked a little bit in Sunday school this morning about members and the members of God and how lots of people want to be one thing and don't want to be another thing, but God has different specific plans for all of these groups. I've talked to at least four people today about this book, and I'm going to mention it again. There's a book named called Range, which is a very good book. It's not a Christian book, but it has some principles in it that are, I would say, Christian, that are godly. He talks in this book about not worrying about the long term. The long term is way out there somewhere. Yes, there's a great commission, but what are the options you have in front of you today? What is it right now that you can do for the Lord? Instead of worrying about, I need to be a missionary to Africa by the time I'm 40. What do I have to do to get there? You go, what does God want me to do today? What's my next step? And when we bring it down to just the next step, a lot of the worry goes away and a lot of the insecurity goes away and you're left with just a simple task most of the time. Just talk to your neighbor. Just, you know what, you're on church cleaning. Go clean the church. God is going to give you just the next step. We also see at the beginning of the book of Joshua that Joshua is encouraged again and again to be strong. If you look in verse 6, in 7, in 9, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, because God knows how daunting it can be. God knows how daunting it is for us tiny little humans to have this huge job we're supposed to do. We know in the New Testament, we're going to have a look. Go to Matthew chapter 28. The Great Commission. We talked about Joshua's commission. Now we have a Great Commission that Jesus gives to us. And it's so big and it's so overwhelming, if we let it be overwhelming, that it can give us the yips. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus gives the disciples here an all-encompassing commission. He doesn't give them the little steps here. He's giving them the grand picture like he gave Joshua at the beginning. This is the end result. This is what we need to do. But he gives them little steps. If you look through the book of Acts, you see little steps. Let's go to, there's one here, in Acts chapter 9. This isn't one of the disciples, but it is one of the apostles. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, we see Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Let's start in verse 3. Acts chapter 9. It says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Thank you, baby. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, pay attention to this next bit, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The only thing Saul had to do at this step was get up and walk into the city. Didn't have to preach, didn't have to convert. There was nothing about miracles. There was nothing about prophesying or talking to Greeks or Pharisees. It was go into the city. That was just the next step. And he says there, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. It's just another little step. And what I really want us to think about tonight, the point that I want us to think about, is to bring this home to ourselves and ask ourselves that question, really just plain and simple, what's my next step? God didn't save us to fill these pews. He didn't save us just so we could make this church larger. He has plans. He doesn't have a plan for anybody to just stay here and stagnate. He wants us to be growing. He wants us to be looking for the next thing he wants to do. And he has a next step for each of us. And so as we sit here, even if you don't think about anything else I'm going to say after this, I want you to think to yourself and ask God, what's my next step? Because there is one. There is a next step. In Matthew 28, back to there, God gives his disciples the Great Commission. But they had different journeys to go on. I had a bit of a look this week about the different apostles, the different disciples, and where they went and where they ended up. We know some of them, Peter went to Antioch and eventually he died in Rome. John went to Patmos in exile and wrote the book of Revelation. Thomas went to India. There was one of them that went to Armenia, and it was Andrew, was one of the disciples, I don't remember that went to Armenia and died and was buried in Iran, I think it was, eventually. But they didn't start there. They started in Jerusalem. They started together and God gave them little steps and eventually they had to leave. But the apostles didn't just get a one-size-fit-all commission. There was the Great Commission and then there was the commissions for individuals. If you think about wars through history, you think about men getting a commission. That was their role in the army a lot of the time. You'd get a commission as a captain in the cavalry or whatever it was, and that was your little role in the big war to come. And often people like Napoleon would give people specific commissions for each battle. He had a few different strategies that he kind of really got into, and one of them was to send his cavalry or some cavalry on such a wide flanking maneuver that nobody even knew they were there until they came in way, way at the back. And he would commission his most trusted lieutenants to go and do that. I'm not going to go into Napoleon. We'll be here all night. We'll leave that alone. You can hear about it next week on my podcast. God has given us each commissions. We might not know what they are altogether. One more Napoleon story before I go too much further. Napoleon was told, you need to invade Britain. And he said, that's a dumb idea. I'm going to invade Egypt, which turned out to be also a dumb idea. But he didn't tell anybody where he was going. There was the committee of, it wasn't public safety at that stage, it was a different committee. Anyway, there was a committee that knew where he was going, and he knew where he was going. Nobody else knew. The captains of the boats didn't know. The soldiers didn't know until they were about 6 weeks out to sea. And he was like, all right, no spies are going to find out. And then he gave them the next step. He didn't tell everybody, hey, we're going to Egypt. He said, hey, we're going. Well, first it was to Cyprus. We're going to Cyprus. And then when they were there, he said, all right, now we're going to Egypt. He gave them little steps along the way, which made it easier for them to swallow as an army. All right, that's all of Napoleon. I'm done. God saved us with a purpose. He saved us so that we could continue this great commission, the one that's found in Matthew chapter 28. I love that it's an active commission. This is not a passive commission. This is not something we have to wait for. This is not something that we sit down and we just hang around. This is something that God says, that he uses active words. Go and teach and baptize, teach, observe. He's telling them, get up. And I love how many times God tells Joshua to get up. After the defeat at Ai, he finds Joshua on his face. And he says, Joshua, what are you doing? Get up. There's the next step. This is what you need to do. He doesn't even talk about Ai at that stage. He talks about this is how you find out who's done this terrible thing. It's just another little step. When we look at the natural world around us, there are things that grow and there are things that don't grow. There are things that grow like a pet puppy and there are things that don't grow like a pet rock. Some things grow, some things don't grow. If something doesn't grow, it's either dead, it's stagnant, or it was never alive to begin with. As Christians, we need to look at ourselves and go, am I growing? Am I stagnant? Am I even saved? Was I ever alive to begin with? Was I ever spiritually reborn? And look at ourselves, because God doesn't want us to just sit here for the rest of our lives and die exactly the same as we are tonight. He wants us to grow. He wants us to get closer to Him. He wants us to create relationships with the people around us. Spiritual life is the same as physical life. It is going to include change. It's going to include growth. Saul could never have witnessed in Rome, or Paul could never have witnessed in Rome, if Saul hadn't got up and walked into the city. The little steps took him to where he needed to go. And we need, once again, to ask ourselves, what's my next step? Because God wants growth. He doesn't want a church of big, pudgy, spiritual babies. He wants babies that grow into people, that grow into stronger people. I'm so glad that Patty and Finn aren't as helpless now as they were when they were 2 days old, because it'd be a lot more pain to hold those boys all the time because they're growing a little bit. I want to see them grow and get stronger and get smarter and stop hitting things so much and stop picking up ticks wherever they come from, but they're picking them up because he's walking, because he's stronger than he was. He's outside, he's exploring, he's breaking all my stuff. All of these things happen. How do we find the next step? It's an easy thing to say, yeah, there's something we should be doing. How do we find out what it is? Let's go to Psalms. Psalms chapter 119. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We find our next step with God's word. The last few years at camp, the first night, Cam will take the campers and we'll do a big walk around. We walk around the edge of the property, over a muddy creek, and back. People get ticks, people fall over and get muddy, but the ones that get muddy are the ones without the torches. They don't have the light on their path, or they're being silly. The light on the path helps them to see where they're supposed to be stepping. Without that, it's dark, and people try and scare each other, and it's muddy, and there's lots of people, and it's noisy. If you don't have your own light, if you're focusing on somebody else's light, you're not going to get to go where you need to go. The Lord says here, or David says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We talked this morning in James about true religion and keeping himself unspotted from the world. You want to be unspotted? Stay on the path and use that light. That light is what we need. So we find our next step with God's word. And then we'll go to the next book, go to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Once again, where no counsel is, people fall. You're off the path, you're in the mud. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We find our next step through the encouragement of others. David Livingstone was sitting one day and heard a man named Robert Moffat speak. And Robert Moffat said, in the north, Robert Moffat was a missionary in Africa, okay? He said, "In the north, I have seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." And that encouraged David Livingstone. And that made him start to think about Africa. And he went and he became just a famous missionary in Africa. And he found his next step through the encouragement of Robert Moffat. I don't think we realize sometimes how much influence we have on each other as Christians. We want to be encouraging. We want to be helping people to find that next step. And they might be helping us too. So we find it through God's word. We find it through encouragement with others. And then we're going to go to James in chapter 1, back in James this evening. James chapter 1 and verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." If we want to know what our next step is, we should ask God. We should see what he has to say about this subject, because he probably has some ideas. It can really be that simple. There have been times in my life where I've asked God, what do I need to do? Do I need to stay where I am? Do I need to go somewhere? I remember praying that when I was working in Gladstone. And I came up here for a holiday one day, 1 week. And I was already a locksmith, and I went to see the locksmith in town here just to say hi, just to see what was going on. And it's a small community. And he said, "Do you have a resume?" I said, "Well, no, I don't, because, you know, I'm just saying hello." He said, "All right, well, if you want to send one to me, I'll have a look at it." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And a few days later, we drove back down to Glass, and I think Callum was with me at the time. And I was praying about it, and the Monday morning I walked into work and my boss was there, and he walked down the stairs and he said, "Well, this place is going under. If you've got anywhere to go, now's the time." And I said, "That's so weird you should say that, because a guy just asked me if I wanted a resume. He said, I'd do it if I was you." And so I did. And so the Lord led me. here because I asked. He may have done that anyway, but I asked him and he answered in a way that was pretty much a slap. I couldn't really ignore it. I couldn't go, that could be anything. It was definitely God going, this is the next step. And he didn't tell me everything else that was going to happen along the way, but he gave me the next step. God has a next step for each of us. Maybe it's baptism, maybe it's a ministry, maybe it's serving somebody, but God has something that he will lay on our hearts as the next step. Don't worry about what's happening in 20 years. Don't worry about where you're going to be when your grandchildren put you in a home. What's the next step? What does God want you to do right now? What's the next thing you need to do? Let's go back to that Great Commission one more time. Let's go to Matthew, and we're going to close. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, we're going to read from verse 18 again. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." God has a plan, and we have help. He says, "I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." We don't need to worry about that huge plan Jesus gave us. What we need to worry about right now as we sit here this evening is, what am I supposed to do next? If we get that down, if we get that next step down, the next step will come as well. And then the next step. I don't think Grandpa ever expected to pastor a church in little far north Queensland when he surrendered to go to the ministry. There was something that took step by step by step. We want God's blessing in our life. We need to find that next bit. Let's pray, and I'll get Isaac back up. Thanks, Isaac. Dear Father, we do thank you so much again for this day. Lord, be working with us. Father, be speaking to us. Help us to be searching for your guidance, Lord, for the next step that you want us to take. Help us, Lord, not to be scared in taking it. Father, I pray you be blessing this church. Help us to grow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.